chapter number 2 this morning. I guess I'm always being a little bit of a kid, and I enjoy Christmas. As a child, I used to, you know, anticipate Christmas coming in those days and weeks ahead of before Christmas. They used to put it in the newspaper how many days it was each day they'd have it to Christmas. Y'all seen them when they did that, 25, 24. I used to look at that thing every day. I was excited. And then on Christmas morning, and I was always excited. And guess what? I'm still excited when Christmas time comes around. And I love Christmas. And there's something special about Christmas. We don't get over it. Some people, you know, I call them Scrooge. They just don't know how to have fun. And I told my wife last night, one thing, a pet peeve of mine is, some people are so religious they can't have a good time. And what I meant to say was some people's got so much religion that they can't enjoy what we're celebrating. And they try to say, well, the Catholics celebrate Christmas. The Catholics eat biscuits. I eat biscuits. Amen? Y'all with me? I don't have to be a Catholic to celebrate Christmas. And I can enjoy this time of year because I know what I'm really celebrating, and I know that, hey, my Savior came to this earth. And there was something special took place over 2,000 years ago on a hillside. And I want us to look in Luke chapter number 2. We've read this the last couple of weeks, I think, been close to it. And I want us to read through this passage. I'll just start in verse number 1. And in case you hadn't read it yet today, we'll do that for you. In Luke chapter number 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone, into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and of the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for him or for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. They were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." I like that. I've got that underlined in my Bible. Well, when we think about this Christmas story, I just want to add this in as I go, give you a little note. When the angels announced this announcement, they said it was good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Amen. He's talking about good tidings. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Great joy, which shall be to all people. He didn't exclude anybody. "For unto you," verse 11, here's the good news, here's the good tidings of great joy. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, this morning I need your help. Lord, I do thank you, Lord, for this time of year. And Lord, I know that we don't know the exact date you were born. But Father, we do know for a fact that you were born into this sin-cursed world. Lord, you were born of woman, made under the law, to redeem every one of us that would believe on you and repent of our sins. And God, I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that because you were born, we can receive the adoption of sons. And Father, I thank you this morning, God, in Jesus' name, for all you've done for us. Thank you, Lord, for your unspeakable gift, the gift that keeps on giving all through the year. Lord, you give us mercy and you give us grace. You give us forgiveness and you give us love and you give us life. And you give us light throughout this dark world. And Father, I'm thankful this morning for Jesus. I just want to lift up Jesus this morning. And I want to praise Jesus the best I know how. And God, I thank you for Jesus. Bless this day. Have your will and way. Bless this message. Help me, God, I pray, to be used by you. We'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to take and really take a good look this morning at what I call unlikely witnesses. Some unlikely witnesses. You know, when you go and witness or you watch a courtroom episode and you see when a court of law is in order and that attorneys, those men of law will call a witness or somebody to testify. They always want that key witness. They want somebody that's got some stature. When somebody asks you to write a letter, I heard somebody this week asking somebody to write a letter of recommendation or, you know, a character witness or whatever. They want somebody with some stature. You with me? They want somebody that's got some clout in society. They want somebody that has a good reputation. And I was thinking about that as I was reading through this story, and I got to looking at these unlikely witnesses, the first witnesses that God chose to witness the birth of his son. We could go on and we could talk about how, you know, in Isaiah chapter 9, the Bible said, "For unto us a son, a child is born, unto us a son is given." And it said his name should be called Emmanuel. We're talking about Emmanuel. His name is going to be God with us. And that's in Isaiah 7, 14, where Isaiah had prophesied. Later on, the angel told it to Joseph and Mary, but the Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 7:14 that a virgin was going to be with child. She was going to conceive, and she's going to bring forth her firstborn son. And it talked about how there's going to name him and call his name Emmanuel. And then Isaiah 9:6 talked about his name should be called a Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And so when we think about that, when somebody of that importance, the Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that Wonderful, that Counselor, that Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, that one that's born of a virgin, made born of a woman, made under the law to redeem. When we think about that, we think, well, maybe when that baby's going to be born, you know, to witness and to verify that this really happened, God's going to have, like, you know, some lawyers there. Or he's going to have some kings there all around. Or he's going to have, you know, some great priests surrounding him. But when I read the Christmas story here in Luke chapter, we call the Christmas story, the very first people that were permitted to testify were people that, according to the legal law of the day, were not allowed and were not permitted to testify in a court of law. They were shepherds. We study and we look through here and we see these shepherds. And when we think about the shepherds were really a lower class of people. They were a class of people that were a common people. Some of them, history tells us, were even criminals. They were outcasts. Most all shepherds were outcasts. They weren't. That's why they were outside of the city. They were out on a hillside. They weren't on the end. They were out yonder. They were looked down upon. They weren't the upper elite society. And yet when God's born, y'all get that? When Christmas is time, we celebrate because that's when God is born. That's not when God started. God has always been. He's eternal. He is the I Am. He's everlasting. He was before. He is always going to be. That He has no beginning. He has no end. But at Christmas time, we celebrate when God was born of a woman into this world to become one of us so that we could become His son and be redeemed. When we think about that, and God sovereignly, divinely chose that the first people that would get the message that, hey, this child is born, this son is given, the good news, the good tidings, great joy, a Savior is born, It's not the kings. It's not at the palace. It's not at the government hall. It's not in a courtroom. It's not to anybody famous. But it's to a group of lowly, common shepherds out on the hillside keeping watch over their flock by night. And I want us to look at these unlikely shepherds. Matter of fact, Micah 5:2 done told us that where exactly where this child was going to be born, that he was going to come forth in Bethlehem, and not just Bethlehem, but Bethlehem of Ephrathah. A very specific, there's lots of Bethlehems. There's Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. But that's not the Bethlehem. He was born in Bethlehem of Ephrathah in Judea. And here we are. This prophecy is being fulfilled. And now you've got this class of people, lower class. You say, why would God choose such lower class? Well, I want to say that maybe he chose this lower class common people to prove that, hey, it's this good news was to all people. It was not just to the royal high priest. No, it wasn't just good news to those that had it all together. It wasn't just good news to those that were looking for him. But let me say, hey, them shepherds were out on the hillside keeping watch over the flock. They were minding their own business, going about the day to day. And guess what? The angels came and appeared and began to broadcast and to tell them, hey, fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, even you shepherds, even you low class, those that the world rejects, those that you've been pushed aside. Hey, I want to tell you the good news is to you. The great joy is to you. Hey, it's going to be to all people. Amen. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now, what about these shepherds? Let's look at some things about these unlikely witnesses. I think you've gotten my point. I've driven home to you. What are some things I want you to notice with me about these shepherds? Number one, I want you to notice that when the angels announced this great message, number one, they received the message. They received the message. Here they are. Look in verse number 8. They were in the same country, shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, minding their own business. Verse 9. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. Now, imagine. I'd have been scared to death. You would have too. People say they see ghosts. They ain't seen nothing. You're out there on the hillside watching a bunch of sheep. And about that time, you see some angels in the sky. And it ain't like, you know, whoop, a bleep of light just flying by and you never see it again like a shooting star. And somebody claims, I saw a UFO. No, this is angels. This is taking the appearance of a man and speaking to these shepherds. I'd have been scared too. And the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. They were so afraid. And verse 10 says, and the angel said unto them, here he is, the angel is delivering the message. The angel is a heavenly being bringing the message to the first human witnesses of this message. And he says to them, in verse number 10, fear not. Amen. That's a good message. For behold, I bring you good tidings. I want you to know when you look up that word good tidings, it's the same word that we get the word gospel from. The gospel of Jesus Christ. They received the gospel, the good news, the message of good tidings. They received, and you say, well, where do you get the gospel out of this? Well, if you look in verse number 11, he says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David, not a king, not a ruler, not a doctor, not a nobleman, but for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Those old Jews were looking for the Messiah. They were looking for the anointed one of God. They're looking for a king to come in and overthrow the Roman Empire. And those angels announced to those shepherds, hey, look up in here. He said, hey, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. For unto you, hey, is born this day in the city of a Savior. He's better than a king. He's better than a doctor. He's better than a lawyer. He's a Savior. He can, hey, not only can he save you from the Roman Empire, but he can save you from your sins. He can save you from death. He can save you from hell. He can save you out of condemnation. He can make you a new creature. He can take you, but you've got to receive this message. You've got to receive this message. Let me say today in 2011, you can hear the story, but you've got to receive this message. You've got to be like those Thessalonians that gladly received the word. Not as it was man's word, but as it was God's word. It's the good news. It's the gospel. They received, watch it, they received the gospel, the good news. But let me say, not only was it gospel good news, but it was glorious news. Read on with me in verses 12 through 14. And he said, this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Glory to God. This message was a glorious message. This message that the Savior had been... Can I say to you it was no accident? Can I say to you the place was no accident? God had already prophesied when it was going to happen. How it happened was no accident. God had promised 700 years before that he was going to be born of a virgin. Hey, it was no accident. The very timing was... I mean, it was just right on. Hey... Galatians chapter 4 verse 4 says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son to be born of a woman. When the fullness of time, at the exact right time. Can I say, it's not just good news, but it's glorious news. It's God's message. It's the fact that God's word is true and he's proved it. And now it's echoing over the hillside and shepherds are hearing it and they are receiving this message. They're receiving the good news that a Savior's been born. And not only has a Savior been born, but God has been pleased. He's saying, wow, 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 glory to God in the highest. They received the message. But let me say this. Not only did they receive the message, but they responded to the message. Look at me. Look with me in verse number 15. They heard this message. They heard that the Savior was born. They heard the glory to God. They heard the angels praising the Lord. And verse 15 says, it came to pass as the angels were gone away. See, those heavenly beings are gone away now. And now the only people left to witness this thing is these humans that just heard the message. And verse 15 says, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us, watch this, now go. They responded immediately. They didn't sit around and wait and say, well, we'll just wait and see what happens. No, they just heard the best news they ever heard. These shepherds that people look down upon and nobody would give them anything, you know, nobody's going to give them the first tidbit of information. They're not going to be the first one that CNN comes and tells. No, hey, but God Almighty chose that they were the first ones that got the message. And they responded immediately. Let us now go unto Bethlehem, even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing, watch it, which is come to pass. They didn't say which we heard. They said which is. In other words, they believed. I'm telling you, they received the message. They received it immediately, and they were responding to it, which the Lord hath made known unto us. They were responding immediately. But verse 16, not only did they respond immediately, but they responded with haste. They were eager. They responded eagerly. They wanted to know. Verse 16 says, and they came with haste and found Mary, Joseph, and the babe lying in Mary. Somebody said that this was the first holiday rush hour traffic. They came with haste. I'm telling you, when you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, when you hear the news that a Savior's been born, it ought to do more than just stir a little fuzzy on you. No, it ought to cause you to respond to the glorious gospel that, hey, a Savior's been born. Hey, a son is born. A child is... Hey, he's God. He's Emmanuel. He's not just a fairy tale. You ought to be brought to a response. You've heard the story. It's more than a story. I've seen it in books. It's more than a book. This is real. This ain't Coca-Cola, but it is the real thing, amen? And now, hey, they're hearing the news, and they are responding to the news. They didn't wait around for a year. They didn't wait around for 6 months. They didn't wait around and say, well, we'll have to watch him grow up. No, they heard the news. They knew it was God's message. They knew it was God's word. And they responded immediately. And they responded eagerly because they knew that it was God's news. They knew that it was glorious. They knew that it was the gospel. And they responded because they wanted to see. But not only did they respond, let me say, they got down there and they saw it. Verse number 16, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. In other words, they went down there and it was just like the angels told them. Y'all, I know it's Christmas. We ain't supposed to preach like this. Amen. We at church. They came and made haste, came with haste and found Mary and Joseph In verse 17, when they had seen it, you see that? When they had seen it, watch it now, not only they receive it, not only respond to it, I want to say they start reporting the message. They watch it now. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad. Not just to each other, but they made known abroad. You listening to me, Christians? We've heard the good news. I know the gospel preacher. I know it's a glorious message. I've responded to it. I've tasted. I've seen. He's good. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying, watch it, which was told them concerning this child. In other words, they relayed to others the message they had heard. You say, preacher, I don't know how to tell people about Christ. I don't know how to tell people about the Savior. Are you saved? If you're saved, why don't you just tell them the good news that you heard? Why don't you just tell them the message that you heard? Why don't you just tell them how somebody told you that the Bible said we were all sinners, we were born in sin, hey, that we're condemned before God, but Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, came and was born of a virgin, born into this world. He went to a cross. He went to the cross and died, and He shed His blood, and He rose again, and He's living today. Why don't you just tell somebody what you heard? They began to make known abroad what they had heard. They relayed the message. They reported. Watch verse 18. You say, well, how many people heard? Well, watch verse 18. And all they that heard it. It must have been more than two or three. We're not given a number, but in verse 17, they're making known abroad. In verse 18, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by who? Not the prophets. Not the priest, not the kings. They wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Let me say, it wasn't because the shepherds were some kind of great, orator or had some great oratory skills, or because they had some kind of clout. No, it reminds you now, low class people, but with a high class message. Amen. Hey, they're telling the message of the King of Kings. They're telling the message that the Messiah has been born. The Savior's born. Hey, He's the Savior of the world. He's down there in Bethlehem. He's laying in a manger. That's the one we've been looking for. That's the one y'all been talking about. Y'all rejected Him. Y'all don't understand it. Y'all not looking for Him in the right places at the right time. Hey, but He's here, good neighbor. He's here. And then, when they heard it, it says, all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Told them by the shepherds. Verse number 19 says, Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. These messengers, these shepherds, these unlikely witnesses, they reported the message. They didn't keep the good news to themselves. They didn't just sit on it and hide it under a bushel. They realized that they were given this message for a reason and for a purpose, and that if others were going to know that this Savior was born by Dennis, they was going to have to go and deliver this message. Just like the angels had told it to them, they went and saw it was true, and now here they are, they're telling everybody, and it brought people to wondering. It brought even the Mother Mary to ponder these things in her heart. They reported the message, but watch this with me, number four. Not only did they receive it, not only did they respond to it, not only did they report it, but number four, they returned with the message. Watch verse number 20. And the shepherds returned. Remember, they were on the hillside. They were on the hill watching over the flock by night. They went down to Bethlehem. They wanted to see it, but then it says they returned. There's not a whole lot of detail there about, you know, when they returned and what happened. But let me say, they returned, they were changed men by what they saw, what they witnessed, what they heard, and what they saw. And they returned new men to the same job. They went back to keeping watch over their flock. They went back to the hillside. We don't have any report. No, the Bible says they returned. They went right back where they came from. Let me say, there's a lot of people that when they hear the good news of the gospel, they hear the message, they believe that, you know, if they trust Christ, it's going to be an escape from reality. Can I say to you this morning, if you're not saved, if you trust Christ, I'm not here promising you to trust Christ and reality is gone and you're not going to have struggles and trials and bills to pay. You're still going to have to pay taxes. You're still going to get sick. You're still going to face death. You're still going to have to suffer from the loss of loved ones. Hey, just because you get saved don't mean that you're not going to have troubles, but it means that when you do have troubles, you know the good news that He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. He's going to be the friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's the Savior of the world. He's the Comforter. He cares for you. Hey, and just because you get saved don't mean you don't have trials and struggles. It means that when you do, it means you got somebody to help you and somebody to carry you along the way. When you face the storm, it don't mean you're going to miss the storm. It means you're going through the storm with Him. And they returned changed men to an unchanged atmosphere. They did not escape reality. They did not escape the strain of life, but now they knew the good news that the Savior was born. They had hope. They had hope. They had hope. Let me say this lastly. Not only did they receive it, not only did they respond to it, not only did they report it, not only did they return, but they rejoiced because of the message. Look at it. It says they returned. What were they doing as they returned? Glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. They were glorifying. Can I believe them old shepherds went back? They might have, you know, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth. I don't know what they were singing. But they was going back and they was praising the Lord. I can imagine one of them saying, you know what, boy? Hey, you know that old angel last night when he come over there and told us? You know when we got down there, do you understand it was exactly like he told us? Do you understand? Do you remember? He said, man, I was down there by the synagogue one day and I heard somebody reading from the book of Isaiah. And they was talking about how the virgin was going to conceive, bring forth a child. And you know what? That's exactly how it happened. They said they was going to call his name Jesus for his to save his people from their sins. You know what? That's exactly what they named that baby. Could you imagine they're going back, they're just praising their Lord, they're just bragging, they're saying, wow, I didn't know what I was going to do next week, I didn't know what I was going to do, I didn't know, but hey, now there's a Savior born, there's somebody to take care of my sin problem, there's somebody to redeem me, hey, he's going to go to a cross. They didn't understand it all, they didn't know it all, but they, good neighbor, they went back because they had a message they never heard before. They done heard the good news of Jesus Christ. Hey, the Savior of the world was born. They knew that Jesus was there, and they didn't go back the same way they came. They didn't go back sad. They didn't go back mad. They didn't go back bitter. They didn't go back grumbling and complaining and moping. As a matter of fact, I believe they was right downright happy. I believe they enjoyed talking about it. They were glorifying and praising God. Well, what's to get all excited about anyway? It says they were glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. Watch this. As it was told unto them. I'm not making this stuff up. What they heard and saw was just the way that they had been told it. The angels told them. They went down there and saw it just like it was. Can I say to you, you've been told it. You receive it, you'll find out it's just like He said it was. Amen. This Christmas, you can be a witness. You may not be elite in society. You may not be high social. You may be like me, just a common commoner. But you can be a witness. You can be a testimony. You can be a receiver. If you've never trusted Christ, repented of your sins, and been saved, you, this Christmas, can receive the greatest gift that's ever been given. You can receive God's unspeakable gift. This Christmas, you can be a witness of the good gospel news, the glorious news that the Savior of the world was born. He wasn't just born, good neighbors, but 2,000 years ago, a little plus, God Almighty wrapped Himself in flesh and blood. And He came to this old sin-cursed world. The Bible says He humbled Himself. Philippians chapter number 2. He humbled Himself. He lowered Himself to man's estate. Born of a woman. Under the curse of the law. 2,000 years ago, the King of Heaven, God Almighty, wrapped himself in flesh, came to this earth. He didn't just come to cry. He didn't just come to grow up and have a good time. He didn't come to be a political leader. But let me say this morning, he was born to die. He was born with a purpose from the foundation of the world. He was the Lamb slain. And when Jesus Christ wrapped himself in flesh, came to this earth, he did it for you. He did it for you. He did it for you. He did it for every man, woman, boy, and girl, red, yellow, black, and white, rich, poor. Let me say it again. Red, yellow, black, and white, rich or poor. The greatest gift ever been given is available to everybody. Woo! Amen. I just thought I liked that. Amen. Born to die. Born to save his people from their sin. Let me say, if you've received this gift, if you've received this message that the angels received, we ought to all be glad to be a witness. We ought to all be glad to go to the world and go out there and tell everybody about somebody that'll save anybody. Go tell the world the message. Verse number 11 says, "For unto you is born this day, the city of David, Savior." Who needs a Savior? Everybody. Who can be a Savior? Only one. He was born. Over 2,000 years ago, he was born. Born to die. Born destined to an old rugged cross. For your sins and mine. Why would I not share it with the world? Can I say to you this Christmas, you're saved? And you know him. You know that you know that you know that you know. I got some exciting news that you can do. You can rejoice. And you can tell anybody. You can go tell it. The song says, go tell it on the mountain. Let me say, you can tell it on the mountain. You can tell it in the valley. You can tell it in your car. You can tell it at your job site. You can tell it at church. You can tell it at the mall. You can tell it anywhere you go. You can tell it, tell it, tell it. Tell the good news that a Savior has been born. Nobody need not die and go to hell without hearing the good news. The good tidings of great joy which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ. Well, those shepherds were unlikely witnesses. You may be sitting here today, you say, "Preacher, I'm not important, I'm not this, I'm not that, I don't have a lot, I don't have..." It really don't matter. And I think God proved to us that very night, doesn't matter what side of the tracks you come from, God cares about you. And he came to some lowly, humble shepherds to prove that the King of Kings cared enough about the lowliest of society that he would humble himself and he would come down there where we were so that one day we could go where he is. Amen. 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 Thank God. Father, I love you this morning, and I thank you in Jesus' name. God, I can't thank you enough. Lord, I thank you for this service, Lord. I feel like your presence has been made real. God, I pray you speak to hearts. I pray, God, if there be anybody here lost this morning, go, Lord God, today might be the day of their salvation. Lord, they might receive the greatest gift they've ever received for Christmas. They trust you today. God, I pray for Christians. God, I pray you'd help remind them and encourage them to be a witness. To rejoice because the Savior is born. We've got a reason to rejoice, Lord. We've got a message to relay to the world around us, to those abroad. Help us, Lord, I pray, to be faithful messengers, faithful witnesses. Help us to tell it just like we've heard it. And God, I pray you'd have your will and way today. Bless now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As the pianist is about.